Take a shot for every Olaf that comes to your door. It's Giardice Weekly.
And you can use one of those, like, frozen ice shot glasses.
Those are good stuff.
We have those.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they in the freezer?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Otherwise, they're not frozen shot glasses. Hi, everybody. It's been a while, huh?
It has been a while.
Yeah, you know, we're those folks
from Sweekin' Sweekly.
GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, we got the website, the Facebookish, Twitter, bird things, whatever they are. Anyway, we're gathered around together to talk about all kinds of stuff, basically catching up. That's what we're doing. The lady who's just ready to bring it, it's the Flintstress.
You have nothing to worry about, except a nightmarish life of unremitting horror.
That's right.
Sounds about right.
Jeebus. Well, the guy that's got a great opening line this time of year, it's Saucy.
Do you like scary movies?
It's been remarked, I think so. And I'm the guy with the identity crisis. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm not a quack. I'm a mad scientist. There's a difference.
Get it right.
It's just as easy to get these things right.
Well,
as it is, what have you been doing geeky?
If I talked about my entire geeky week this time, it would probably be like an hour long, but we'll hit the highlights.
That's what I was shooting for.
That was pretty much going to be the bulk of our show. Well, the geekiest thing that I've done since the last time we've had the show is brought another geek into the world. Yeah. She might not be, you know, a super geek yet, but a future geek, Melody Jade Vernon.
I don't know. I saw her in a Green Lantern outfit.
Yeah, she's been in the Green Lantern outfit. She's got a Stormageddon onesie. She's got Doctor Who. She's got Star Wars, Star Trek, anything you can imagine.
Right.
We have a geek in the making. So
thank you
to everyone for all the well wishes.
I never saw a Boba Fett onesie.
Not yet.
You know, I haven't seen one of those. So that needs to happen.
Minor Google work to be done there.
So that's been, it was a lot of hard work, but it's fun and, you know, tiring. But we've been watching a lot of stuff because I've been home for maternity leave. So I will go ahead and start with Doctor Who.
Oh, ooh, nice.
No, just jumping right in.
Sure.
So we've got a couple of episodes of Doctor Who.
What's the last?
So the last one was the one where the forest grew up automatically.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. And the one before that was called Flatline, where, everything was going into
Flat
two dimensions.
Flatliners, which was much better than the Kiefer Sutherland, Kevin Bacon film.
Right.
Much, much better.
Has it even been one more since the last time we've had the show, or no?
The forest one.
I think it's been a few.
The forest one. Oh, since we've done the show?
Since we've done the show.
It's been about four.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, maybe we just talk about those two.
Yeah,
because
we were
going to
do, take maybe 2 weeks off, and then things happened.
Yeah.
Things happened there.
So, well, the most recent one was the one with the forest, where the forest grows up automatically. And that one was kind of cool.
It was.
Because I was like, so. At first, the doctor gets there and he's like, is my TARDIS working? I'm supposed to be in the middle of downtown London. And you think, well, maybe he is, but in the wrong time. Like with, what's her name?
Most any companion he's had.
Right. No, I was thinking of...
Rose, Sarah Jane.
No, yeah, back in the day. Heathrow Airport.
Tegan, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the one that I was thinking of. But, and no, we're in present day London in Trafalgar Square and there is a forest and... And the kids, you know, the school kids, they're kind of on a field trip. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that we're getting the kids involved, you know, the kids from their school and they're on a field trip. But at the same time, it's sort of like, I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, the kids I didn't really so much think about because I was like, wow, there's a bunch of, just archetypes of kids that are. And now we're done. The most interesting girl in the whole thing, we didn't really get to spend that much time with. We start off with her.
Right.
And then the rest of the time, we're just running
to
find her.
We're looking for her.
Which, and so that I think, kind of nullified the ending a little bit for me because they didn't develop that enough for that to be the emotional payoff I think they wanted us to have.
Right. I think it was a little heavy-handed in the whole, like, kid, we shouldn't have our kids on all these medications and we shouldn't, you know, we should just be listening to our kids. And
right.
So it was definitely a good message, but it was just a little bit over the head with it.
Because I like to find patterns even when maybe none do exist, this is another episode not far from the other one about the moon where it's a natural phenomena. Don't do anything.
Right.
That's a weird thing. Like the doctor, who am I? What am I doing? And here's a couple of instances where I'd just leave things alone if I hadn't gotten involved. The best thing he did was to say, hey, don't cut down the trees this time.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going for, if that even means anything.
It was definitely not. The doctor saves the day. It was the doctor gets everyone to communicate and not take action.
Exactly.
And therefore, the day was automatically saved by our heroes of the episode, the trees.
But skip that. Let's go. Flatliners. The one that was incredibly awesome.
That one was pretty cool. So there's an invasion of these different beings that live in two dimensions.
Two-dimensional. I love
and
that.
And they're, you know, yeah. Paper Mario, Flatland kind of, you know, sort of thing. And they're, the doctor's not sure at first if they they're evil or if they're just here to kind of learn about us and are analyzing us by taking us into the two dimensions.
Right. So this, I love this one because, you know, Doctor Who, and it lived up to it here, creepy and scary.
Yeah.
If you're a little kid, I can easily, this is one that you watch from behind the couch. Fantastic.
Especially at the beginning when you don't really know what's going on, or even when you start to see the creatures themselves are pretty scary.
They were quite well done. I think the you know, the lack of budget CGI actually worked to its advantage in this particular instance because they're strange. They're strange looking.
Yeah. And we also, we're getting the, like, not each episode we're running into extra people that are becoming part of, I mean, that's kind of been a Doctor Who thing. Like, you go on a mission and there's the people there that you have to interact with. But that one was also cool. The Flatliners, because Clara is in the role of the Doctor.
She's the Doctor.
So she's got the Sonic and she's got the TARDIS miniaturized in her purse, which was almost the exact size of those that you can buy at the store. And I was like, merchandising opportunity, but it already exists because they already have those.
Now they're going to sell one with the Doctor inside, a big oversized Doctor already inside.
That would be crazy.
Hey, Doctor. And you can relive the episode.
That would be fun. But yeah, so that was just kind of cool because she had to get them to trust her. She had to step up and be the leader. She had to basically figure it out with, you know, without his help. He's so the... how do you say it in Latin? The deus machinus sometimes.
Deus ex machina.
Ex machinus sometimes, where he's, you know, he just kind of like comes in. Just the one?
Yeah, machina. Just the one.
Okay. Sorry. All my Latin geeks out there are screaming in protest. No!
What's Latin for what? That's a shame because I want to do the Latin of what. That's what I want to do.
We'll look it up.
Okay.
Totally derailed my train of thought, but that's
sorry.
Okay. No, it's all right. But it was so. It's just it's often the Doctor that swoops in and saves the day,
right.
And so Clara really had to kind of do that.
Well, how interesting was it then again that in this forest episode, same kind of thing,
right?
She's the one. Oh, well, he just does this until he hears something, and then he'll start solving it. You know, oh, I'm taking you here so you can go away, which was interesting to see the Doctor kind of willing to go away, which was an odd thing. But it's weird.
He was always going to go into the TARDIS and do more research.
Yes, but it wasn't that long ago. The Doctor wasn't necessarily tricking her into coming along, but he was more in control. She's definitely more in control of this relationship now.
Right. Their power dynamic has shifted.
Yes. And that's a lot.
I don't like her lying to Pink. I mean, Danny Pink, her boyfriend, one way or the other, she either needs to say, look, dude, I love you, but I'm going on missions with the Doctor when I feel like going on it. If you have the time and you want to come with us here and there, you know, that'd be a good thing, but I'm not giving this up. It's an activity that I enjoy. I love you, but I'm not going to lie to you about it. Just be honest with him.
Sure. She should do that. And, you know, this... He seemed very adamant a couple episodes ago about wanting an answer, and now he's like, I'll take a week.
Yeah.
Right.
Think about it.
Well, no, I think he's afraid
of the answer.
I mean, he's obviously jealous.
Well, she gets something out of adventuring with the Doctor that is not provided by average normal life. And he doesn't seem to want that. You know, when they have the opportunity to go and watch the phenomenon from space.
Damn, I really should have had that phenomenon. One ready for this one.
Right? And he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to stand on here and make sure the kids get home to their parents. So it was just kind of like, and none of the kids wanted
to
go?
Not one of the kids wanted to go? I would have been the son of a bitch that had been like,
I'm coming.
Yeah, I can, she'll be here.
The redhead girl would have gone.
Yes!
Exactly.
Absolutely. I figured she would have went with her mom, and mom would have been able to see, and she knew about this and whatever, and why did they talk to her? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. So, but
interesting.
It was just, if there's times like that, that it's just kind of like, oh, okay.
Have we done a, the Mummy's been after we've done the last show, isn't it? Mummy on the Orient Express?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was quite good, too.
That was a good one, too. That was also a little bit scary when you know, to think that you're the only one that could see it, and you have 65 seconds or whatever,
God.
And you're going to die.
Okay, Doctor? I understand that you're, you know, just playing with people, but maybe keeping the guy that you're trying to get the information from, maybe don't tell him he's going to die.
Right.
And maybe you'll get more of the information.
Right. Maybe he actually will describe what is going on.
That was
on.
A clever way that he figured that out and could see that himself and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And there's another aspect of this soldier theme that's running throughout.
Yep. See, there's a little. So, Missy, thoughts? These little 10-second, 30-second clips.
It's bothering me to get just like the tiny little bit of her thrown in here and there.
So for this last episode where she watches the son do the same thing and what wasn't she expecting? Was she not expecting the Earth to be okay? Was she not expecting the Doctor to come back? What was she not expecting?
Yeah, I think she was not expecting the Doctor to just stop and figure it out, I guess. But I mean, like, that's how he works.
I don't know. So I'm still going with and hoping and crossing my fingers. And I don't care if I'm wrong. I hope this is the Ronnie. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of buzz online about who she is or what. And it's just kind of like it's a tease, the way they keep sort of bringing her in at the end of the episodes, right, and not really giving us any more about it.
Or, you know,
it
for 5 seconds in the middle and then just go away.
Yeah, so, I mean, the season finale is coming up, the two-part or whatever season finale is coming up, and then we'll have the Christmas special.
Indeed.
So we don't have too much longer here before we need a payoff.
The preview made it look like we're going to
get something.
At least they look like they're in the same scene. So,
that's better than anything we've had, you know, so far. Progress. So, but I like how it was interesting how it also tied in the one with the time heist about the solar flare is what caused, you know, caused that. And maybe that there's something more.
Yeah, this last one too, referenced lots of things.
Yeah.
There were mentions of other things up and down. Some people have said that maybe Missy is the master. Maybe the master, you know, had a female form this time. That
like
could
mistress
be interesting.
Missy. Mm-hmm.
Sure. But then just might as well make her the Ronnie and just get over with. But I'd be remiss if I didn't point out an interesting little thing about Mummy on the Orient Express that Ryan, we were talking about on Facebook and in the forums. You know those fantastic forums. You can join that conversation at geekradiodaily.com. That's easy enough to make happen. He was thinking the caretaker guy on the train is a Time Lord. The Doctor and a leader, maybe the Master. Who knows? Maybe he was behind all the stuff on the train. But if you think about it, that wonderful little telling scene where he comes up on the Doctor, where people are not where they're supposed to be, whatever it is. And he's like, well, people watching. So he was there. He had been trying to figure it out.
He definitely very quickly rolled with all of it.
He did.
He did not have any kind of like processing time. He was like, all right.
Like, okay. Yep. Okay. You found that part. So
well,
I don't know.
It
could be a throwaway.
They recruited a whole bunch of, you know, expert people. He'd been trying to get the Doctor on the train.
Right.
The mastermind behind all this had been trying to get the Doctor on the train for a long time. If he had been a future incarnation of the Doctor, he wouldn't necessarily have told the current, you know, you see what I mean?
Right.
Like, he would have kept that a secret.
So then what if he was the guy that sent that? What if the caretaker was the guy that sent out the message to get the Doctor? Don't know. Don't know if any of this is tied together or not. Don't
Crazy.
Care. It's fun. Sorry. Love me,
All right.
Her.
So yeah, that's been Doctor Who.
Okay. Phew. We're done.
Okay. No, we've caught up a lot of stuff on our DVR. We've watched The Mindy Project, and so Danny and Mindy
Diamond
are together now.
Diamond Dan. Thank you very much.
And Mindy are together.
The loquacious Diamond Dan.
They just seem, I don't know, I still don't know about them together. They're so very different. But the show is still funny. It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
There's times, you know, Morgan and Peter and some of these kind of auxiliary characters, Tamara, every now and then, she's hilarious. Like, every time she speaks on
screen. You tried to kill me.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just filming this because I have too many celebrities in my phone. I can't just leave it here. I mean,
Somebody
she's just
throw a punch.
Hilarious.
Somebody throw a punch.
She's
Goodness.
Just super funny.
Yeah.
So, Mindy Project. And Arrow.
There you go.
All right. So we caught up on Arrow, and now we're actually like watching it in, you know, week by week form.
Sure.
And my name
is
Oliver Queen. And yes, we've got Brandon Routh.
It's been 5 years now.
And we've got Argus, and we've got all these other things going on. I thought one of the best parts was in this most recent episode when they're in, where is it? I wanted to say Monte Cristo, but I know that's not it. Corpus Christi, no. Montevideo. They're somewhere. They're in South America, on an island in South America.
Yes, they are.
And
I'm not going to tell you what
you're
it
not going to tell me what
Macho Grande. I'm just going to keep giving you fake ones. That's all I'm going to do.
Mucho dinero. No, I don't know where they are, but they're on some island.
Yes.
It'll come to me later, and I'll shout it in the middle of the show.
Costas Mandalore.
Something like that. Where?
No, that's a person, actually.
Where Theo went with Malcolm...
Merlin.
I was like, not Malcolm Reynolds.
No, not Malcolm Reynolds. No, that's your slash fic that you're talking about now, and I don't need to hear about that at the moment.
Anyway, so she goes there to train to become a badass, and
Malcolm Merlin's badassery. Inquire within.
School for the badass.
Sure.
And you know, he's training her to be able to fight and to not. You know, to not feel pain and
That's right.
pouring hot wax on her hand. And
you should have tried that, dude. Should have tried that.
Not Could've, feel pain.
Yeah, built up the pain with the hot wax on the hand.
That'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
So,
some candles.
All right, well, Sauce will be back
after
a couple
a
of
moment.
Minutes of burning himself.
If you hear screaming hyenas in the background, that's really him.
Yeah, but so they went to get him. Oh, but the part that I was going to say that was cool was when Oliver makes the bow and arrow and the quiver and the arrows out of all the things that he finds in his hotel room.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty clever. So, and just same thing, you know, Felicity is definitely one of the best characters and just
Indeed.
Sort of the other folks that are there.
She's a pretty good Chloe.
Yeah, I understand that she's Laurel is angry and she wants to take over and she wants to have training, and you know that she has to. She has to be Black Canary at some point. But just, she's kind of whiny. I don't know. She's getting on my nerves.
Not the, as Oliver would say, not the pretty bird that he refers to her as later.
Yeah. Yeah. And so who killed Sarah is the question. And maybe we'll finally get a little bit more of that next episode.
Apparently it's one of the ninjas from Mortal Kombat. There's too many ninjas. There's so many ninjas. Well, you know, that Ra's al Ghul's supposed to be coming in. Right. He didn't do it himself, but no. I don't know. He probably had a, I don't know.
But his daughter comes to be like, hey, who killed Sarah?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It's going down.
Scenes from the next. Oh, so we'll see.
Bronze Tiger's here now. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of our favorites as far as something new that's been out is The Flash.
Yep.
Right.
Take over, brother. This right. is because you're such a kid when you watch this.
I love The Flash. And to never have read any of the comic books or seen any of the like earlier cartoons, I love the Flash. You had really zero familiarity with him
except that you knew that he was fast.
This is all new.
Wow.
It's great. It's great.
And you've just become hooked and crazed and locked into this wonderfulness. Yeah.
I hope it's like relevant to like everything else, because like this is what I'm going on. This is my idealization of The Flash.
This, from what they've set up with a crazy amount of Easter eggs, they can just sprinkle in without being obvious at all. A throwaway line about, well, maybe I'll have my own museum, made me crack my fool head up, because The Flash Museum does exist in Coast City. In the future. In the future, it does. Yeah, yes, it does.
And it is, I think that this is striking a very good balance of it's something that a newbie could appreciate and something that a hardcore fan of the comics would also appreciate. Because you laugh sometimes. I'm like, I have no idea what you're even talking about. Yeah. But it's just like...
Yeah, I'm on this whole other level with the show.
But you're still... But I appreciate it too, because I have some familiarity, you know.
Indeed.
Just enough to be dangerous when it comes to The Flash. But I like it.
If you want to go and read the comic books.
It'd be interesting to try to figure out what to get you, though. Because Barry Allen has not been alive in the DC comics for some time.
Right.
But he has been, well, for the past 5 or 6 years, he's been alive. But after that, he was, you know, in the real world, dead for almost a good 20 years there.
Right.
So. Which, as we all know, what happened, because you saw it in the first episode. They mentioned it in the stupid newspaper.
Yeah. So it's and the guy who is this future guy, right, who has the knowledge and...
And knowing about this, seeing this little extended weird flashback version... of him going, feels like I've waited centuries for this, has a whole new meaning now.
Right.
Since God only knows what that means. Because your idea was he could potentially be what?
Be Legion.
See? That maybe. But Legion people don't generally stab folk in the chest.
That is true.
So that was like, oh, well, damn.
I'm just pissed off that he's lying about not being able to walk.
Okay.
No, but you're right. It's kind of like, why even... do that? Like, you doing it for sympathy, faking a handicap, or, you know?
Because the things that he's doing that we don't know about yet can't be done. This throws suspicion completely off of him, because he's the enfeebled man. He can't get here. He can't, oh, no, I can get it, folks. I can make it down there. Just nobody come there so you see me get out of the chair and do the thing I need
right.
to do.
Right. Exactly. So,
but, yeah, no, it's really cool. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I really thought this last villain, the gas guy thing, I really thought it was going to be Metamorpho, but not, so okay.
We are doing a little bit of Monster of the Week, but that does sort of have to happen. Yeah. I could deal without the, like, I don't know, the boyfriend-girlfriend sort of aspect of, you know, dating and some of that personal stuff.
Do you know why the original, the last Flash TV show with Papa West, Papa Allen, sorry, I mixed my Flashes up, works so well? In the pilot episode, because we all know he ends up with her, that's what the deal is. But in the pilot episode, she goes off on some work-related thing for whatever, and she's going to be gone for a bit, which lets him have some possible romantic tension with people still there. It worked well. But this way, especially because they are hitting it really hard off the beginning, because you think you'd wait at least till a season or two before you put them to the place where very soon... It's like, I like that he ran around real fast and told her so she didn't hear.
Right.
That was kind of
cool. That was kind of cool.
That was epic.
Yeah. It was very nice.
And I do like the variety in which they use his super speed. Like, I like how he'll just rescue people and put them outside of where they were and then just like run away. And they're like, how did I even get here? That's always super fun.
I love giving the lady the knife from the mugger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
It's like I never thought of that. And I never did give kudos to the first episode for doing the classic beautiful maneuver of the Flash of running the opposite way to kill the tornado.
I called it.
And doing it so much better than that 1997 live action JLA pilot.
I was thinking of it from the animated
series,
yes, the teenage ones, the Justice League Unlimited. No, I don't know, I'm making up stuff. What was that one called?
Young Justice.
Young Justice. There you go. Yeah. So I was like, as soon as they started the tornado, I was like, run the opposite direction, dude. I know this one. Woohoo! I got points for that. Okay. So
very nice.
It's a good time to be a fan of superhero stuff on television.
Dear God, right?
Right. And we haven't even started talking about Gotham.
Right.
Gotham, I think, is the one where we were scared that Gotham was going to suck after they pulled the pilot.
They pulled the pilot from
Wizard World Comic Con, right? Like, and we were like, oh no, this can't be good. So I think what's been good is we don't spend a whole lot of time with Bruce Wayne. You know, every now and then we get inklings of how he's kind of like got detective leanings, how he's trying to figure things out, how he's, you know, but it's not really about him. It's about Jim Gordon and everything that he's going through, and this like, do I or don't I kind of, am I good? How bad do I have to at least pretend to be so that I'll get people to trust me? And this is just his whole like how Gotham works is definitely interesting. It really sets it up with this is, you could see how, why an adult Bruce Wayne would feel the need to be Batman. Based on the state of Gotham.
True enough.
And, you know, the way that apparently they're twisting his family's name all up in some of it.
Right?
He's not happy about that. Mm-mm. Now you've given the boy something to go for. Now you've given him some direction.
Yeah.
I do love the fact, you know, we're starting to pull in, like, some, you know, some superpowers, whatever you want to call them in this version. I guess they could be metas. Who knows? Because I don't know if they're going to cross these shows eventually. Who knows? From different networks. But it's starting to feel like the comic Gotham Central, which dealt with the police having to deal with some of like the lesser but powered heroes.
Right.
It's an interesting comic, and that part starts to feel like that mixed with year one. I'm having a damn fine time with it.
We haven't really gotten anybody who has like necessarily a superpower in and of itself yet.
Yeah, but
you know. I mean, and the star of this show is Oswald Cobblepot.
Oswald Chesterfield freaking Cobblepot.
Just every scene he's in, he steals the show, is chewing up scenery left and right. he is just, this is all him. He's going to Urkel it out.
That pleasing, not quite sanctimonious, but you know, that yes man wannabe kind of smiley guy. And then when he gets hurt, oh my God. Yeah, he's really, really, really fun to watch in this show.
Yeah. And to think about it, if you really sit and think about it, he is masterminding personally all of this stuff between Falcone and Maroni.
Yeah.
Like, is making all of that happen the way that he wants it to happen. So. Interesting.
Yeah, because one, you know, a very cool incarnation of the Penguin they've done is to make him like this sort of mob boss kind of thing, and it works really well, and he's gonna do it quite spectacularly.
Yeah, he's got a great evil smile and that hair, and just in general, he's just shy of being a caricature.
Yeah, well, it's his eyes.
Yeah,
his eyes is what really does it, because he can go from that bright, playful to you see it just half a second before he slices somebody,
right?
That it just goes just completely murderous.
Yeah. Yeah, we really saw it in the car on the way out of town.
Yeah.
Those two kids picked him up.
No one ever said that to me before.
Yeah, that lightning quick change. Yeah, that's what makes him really dangerous to handle. And yeah, he's thinking three and four steps ahead from everybody else in what's going on in the show. How do you know that a war is coming? Well, the war is coming because I am orchestrating it, you know, so yeah, crazy.
Well, I was here. Tell me a story, Jim. that was a great scene, man. I don't care if you like comic books or not. That's a damn good just mafia scene right there. Mm-hmm. That's a damn good mafia scene.
Agreed.
Yeah, you tell me a story that matches his story. I love that scene.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Now that I have to kill you both.
Drink?
Water.
Outstanding. Yeah. That's good stuff.
That was definitely good. I like Maroni as a mob kind of guy, because he's not stupid, but he's also,
he's like, hey,
he's kind of funny.
They didn't hire me for The Sopranos. I'm gonna make it, do it right here. Mm-hmm. Right here.
Yep, here's my chance to shine. So like I said, comic books. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm so glad.
It's a good time to be a geek.
God, so many things of quality on TV in our little sphere, our little crazed place.
Yeah. So we're still in the same continuity where, you know, it's Hydra is powerful, and then there's
they leaked the trailer for Avengers too.
There's so much, you know, going on. We've got a skeletal group in S.H.I.E.L.D. who's still trying to
Skeletor?
No, a skeletal, right? So we've got the whole
Sorry, that's completely my fault.
Oh, if only this was a video cast. I know, that was a good one.
You have to make the face to get the voice to come out.
You do, and it was something.
It was a little bony.
Well, we're getting a little bit of plot advancement on Skye's origin.
Sure.
And we're also getting this whole sort of Coulson is carving the, could it be alien language? Skye thinks maybe it's a map. You know, so like what's going on? It looks almost Gallifreyan because it's, I guess everything circular can't be, you know, Gallifreyan.
Yeah,
it's definitely, we're getting a little bit of advancement on that level of the plot.
So basically what? She's Peter Quill's sister? Because she's half alien?
Oh,
that,
I don't know.
That's Star-Lord. No, right. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. No, no, of course they're not.
No.
But no.
That'd be the only thing that's not tied in to the universes together.
You know, they've dived in and brought out some superpowered people.
So you just
people.
Threw that away. But if that actually happens, right? You're going to be like,
it's gonna
be crazy.
Everyone will go back and be like, what did he say? I don't know. I'm not predicting that. But that would just be, she's half alien. He's half alien. Together they're cops. This fallen fox. I don't know. I'm just... You know, you see connections. That's all I'm saying. They don't always match up, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But sometimes, yeah, I see them. But no, that's it's
and
quality.
Simmons lasted longer undercover at Hydra than I thought she was. She is a terrible liar.
Yes.
And the fact that she was able to get any information at all without getting murdered was pretty impressive.
That's why they sent in a badass redhead.
Mockingbird, yes.
That's the only way.
Through no fault of, I mean, she couldn't save herself. She couldn't do anything, but she got some information, so that's good. I think that that Fitz, I hope that he recovers, at least sort of.
He seems to be getting
a lot better. He needs to just go ahead and recover.
I don't know. Now that she's back and all, it's still going to be super painful. I mean, either way, the whole reason this is going down is because she turned him down.
Well, she was assigned the Hydra job.
Right.
So she didn't necessarily say, I don't have feelings for you like that.
Right.
But I don't know.
She kind of implied it.
Yeah, it is kind of...
I mean, you're a cool person to almost die with at the bottom of a great big body of water, but...
Yeah, but I, you know, but I'm looking at these other dudes, so it's just, yeah, we'll see how that all plays out.
Especially that one guy. And the other pals, it's a recipe for disaster.
Right. So, and I'm okay with the other guy, the sort of, is he Australian? Or, you know, he's got the accent or whatever.
I think he's Australian.
He's just kind of, he can go ahead and die. I mean, he's okay, but like, I don't know, we'll see.
But it's pretty cool that the badass redhead is his ex-wife.
Yeah, that's definitely going to add a different dynamic to the mix.
Yeah, but to what degree? I'm like, okay, all right, we'll see.
All right, and then rounding out my superhero stuff, well, I guess maybe you could call him a superhero, certainly comic books.
No. I wouldn't call him a superhero.
Are you talking Constantine?
Yes, I am.
Yes. So not a hero, necessarily, but so we saw the very first episode of Constantine, and what did you guys think?
A little heavy-handed, but it's a pilot, and a lot of times pilots don't get it exactly right, but there's enough right in there that should they be able to hone those edges out, think quite nice. Already, so much better than the damn movie. So much better.
I'm liking it.
That's science.
I mean, once again, Spencer's pretty ignorant when it comes to comic book stuff.
So I thought he was supposed to look like Keanu Reeves.
The only thing I had seen Constantine related or read was the movie that apparently didn't go so hot for comic book fans.
As just some sort of supernatural action adventure thing, it's okay. But it is not John Constantine. It is not. Godzilla 98. Is a decent kaiju flick. It's not a Godzilla movie.
But
yeah. So, yes. Some weird things in it. Chaz, his buddy. You know, okay, first off, you got to accept the fact that John Constantine is in Atlanta, Georgia. You just have to accept that. And John has traveled across before, so I'm willing to let that slide. That's fine.
And I'm trying to place his accent. He's like Scottish or Welsh or something, like not quite British.
Well, see, he's from London in the comic, but it is a little more Welshian, is that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it, but yeah, it's definitely not British.
Right. his buddy Chaz, okay, Chaz is here and he's driving a cab like he's supposed to, that's cool, but they've added something to his character that I really don't remember, and it surprised you as well,
even though you had just seen
the movie.
It really surprised me, just because it wasn't supposed to go down like that in the first, like,
yeah, a little
15,
bit.
15, 20
that's
minutes.
That's his pal,
pilot.
That's his buddy, and that, you know, that friendship leads to a wonderful, crazy-ass moment in the comics that I really hope they get to. But no, again, They're doing the thing. They're throwing in the Easter eggs. You know, I have to love it because the whole thing with the Institute at the beginning, he did get in the comics put in. He was in a mental institution. He didn't check himself in. He got put in there because of the whole exorcism that did go wrong. So I did like that. The doctor he talks to is from there. They mentioned Newcastle, which the whole thing, they're getting all the names right, which is good. They've got that guy, the what's his name? The Simpson, Richie Simpson, the went to talk to the guy who couldn't leave his house. He's got a bunch of robots on his desk. And if you know that character, he kind of ends up in the body of a robot. It sounds stupid, but it's not. It really isn't, I swear. But that was a nice little throw there.
It's like Full Metal Alchemist.
Indeed, kind of there. Hmm. They mention Ivy University, and I think that's interesting because that's where Ray Palmer currently works in the comic books. That's Brandon Routh works there in the comic books. We saw... What did you ever figure out what it was you saw?
Mm-mm.
The helmet? Did you ever figure out what it was?
I can't remember what it's called.
Dr. Fate. It's Dr. Fate's helmet is on that. Now, didn't we see that in Arrow? I don't know. But we saw Fate's helmet, and I don't know, we've seen all kinds of things. Pandora's box got shown, which currently is a skull. There was backwards writing, which lets me know they're going to bring Xantana in at some point. You even got to get a glimpse of the Medusa mask. But one of the coolest things was his business card.
Yeah. Master of the Dark Arts.
Oh, well, I don't think you two caught it, but I noticed something very important about that business card.
What's that?
The phone number didn't have 555 in it.
Oh.
So you can call 404-248-7182. That's a real number. And it's John Constantine's voicemail that does pick up.
Oh, that's cool. I love when they do things like that in shows, that viral stuff.
Apparently, back when they were showing this off at at different Comic-Cons or whatever, showing bits and pieces, that phone number had a different message than it does now that actually referenced Alec Holland, who's Swamp Thing, which is the comic Constantine first appeared in. But currently, it's like, this is John Constantine. If you've reached this number in error, lucky you sawed off, which is just... kind of cool. I think they're going
to
get it right.
You know what? It's an inexpensive way to throw something in there for the fans.
Boom.
Just a fun thing to do.
There. So yeah, good stuff. So I had a fun time with it. I'm willing to give it another shot. And I hope it stays as dark and goofy as it was in these places.
Well, I also like, even though they did it, they started off with kind of like the team coming together, if you will, like her and Chaz, and then the other guy who was in Lost. But what they didn't do was they didn't start with Constantine's origin story.
Yes.
And a lot of times pilots just feel like that's where they have to start.
I guess.
I mean, we're going to eventually have to know more about. We got a little bit of what happened with that girl and, you know, some of what happened in his past, but not specifically how he started out.
Indeed. And I totally buy this guy when he's doing his spells, saying his chants. I totally buy that he's doing this and not just reading.
Right.
Yeah, totally buy it.
Yeah, the acting of the main character, I think, is definitely very good.
I could do without the shades, though.
Yeah.
But I understand he had bruises. He had problems. So, I'll get over that.
And also, next thing on my list, not superhero comics, but based on a graphic novel, we have The Walking Dead.
Indeed.
Nice.
And we are one episode behind.
Which apparently is something we have to watch immediately because it's incredible.
Okay. So as soon as the show is over, if you've got time before you have to go to work, we will watch it. But yeah, that's The Walking Dead. So we start out at Terminus at the beginning of the season, and we don't, spend a whole lot of time there before we are out. And biggest badass of the season so far... Carol.
Yeah.
Followed closely by Rick's beard.
Bearded Rick, there's something about the beard that must give him strength because he's a lot better frame of mind. He's a little darker now, but I haven't wanted to slap him so far this season.
You know, I think what it is, it's like, look, you can't just get out of being the leader. You have to be the leader. We're not at the prison anymore. We're back on the move. And that's where I think he shines as a leader, is it's kind of like we have to make a day-by-day decision. We're not just like camped and, you know, listening to the iPod and, you know, tending food in the field. You know, we are on the move. So, that's, I think, where he shines as a leader. Right. But it's just interesting that even though the scientist guy who's like, we need to get to DC because I have a way to turn this off, hasn't shared a whole lot of details with exactly how
classified
that would work. So it's
classified,
just kind of, that's a little bit like, okay.
And he's not really doing much of anything to help them. Like, he flat out told them, I don't know if you expect me to fight or not, but I can't. I can't run and I can't fight. And
well, he should just go over with Father Gabriel and pray, and then everything will be all right.
Yeah, talk about the preacher guy in this episode. What he's hiding, my theory is that he barricaded himself inside the church and didn't let any other people in. None of his congregation were able to, he kept all the food and they were screaming to get in and he wouldn't let any one of those people in.
So have you forgotten him or did you stop reading the comic before you got to him?
I stopped reading the comic before I got to him.
Okay, all right. Well, yes, they've introduced another character from the comic. We'll see.
Okay.
And because it's been pointed out on the soup and in other places, Father Gabriel means that someone else has to die. And Bob's looking close.
Yeah.
But by God, you got to get rid of Tyrese. Because I don't like at all what they've done with this character. An amazing character from the comic. And
yeah. Tyrese was more like Daryl in the comic.
Yes, he was Daryl.
Because there was
no Daryl. There was
not. So, yeah. I mean, Tyrese, he saved Judith.
He's the babysitter.
That's like the only thing. Right, exactly. That's like the only thing he's done lately. I don't know.
And can I be very controversial? Can we please kill the baby off?
Oh. Well, she is a liability. Like, she does a pretty good job of keeping quiet, which is a little unrealistic when you think about it.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
So, I mean, are you thinking about MASH?
I thought about
that. She's going to, like, reveal their position or something?
That, and just, you know, she hasn't been... The fact that she has not been killed is astounding to start with. I mean, I did not want to side with an obvious bad guy so much as that guy going, well, then you're already dead.
Right.
Because you're...
Yeah.
Because...
It's unrealistic.
I mean, this show needs to go there. Sure, they killed a kid at the end of last season, but they killed a sociopath.
Right.
So nobody really minded.
It's one thing to think they could keep the kid alive if they were still in the prison.
Yeah.
But being on the move like that... It's just going to be hard. And
unless they killed her in this episode that we need to see.
Right. I know, right? We could be talking about that. We're like, oh my God.
Timey-wimey.
But the way that it went down, the differences between the show and the graphic novel, because I do remember that part from the graphic novel where they're at the prison.
Yep.
And that was the way it probably needed to be. I'm not trying to say anything in particular, but yeah.
And I hope we go ahead and get rid of the rest of these remnant hang-on Terminus people. That whole plot line needs to hurry up and go away.
Right. But it makes sense, though, that if you've already resigned yourselves to be cannibals, right? We are going to eat people. So they are hunting.
Cannibal.
They are hunting a herd that they can follow, right?
Sure.
So Rick and his crew made their way, didn't go back and finish them off, you know, even though that's what Rick wanted to do, didn't go back and finish them off, went and just left. And then, of course, if you're hungry and you are already cool with eating people, you're going to follow the herd of people and try to pick them off one by one. So, if you know, they think of Rick's group as like cattle. So it makes sense that they would treat them as such. But yeah, when they zoomed back out from that one episode and showed Bob, yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, if I can blur the moments of comic and show for you, that should have been Dale. So moving on.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dale lasted a lot longer than he did in the show. Just a bit longer.
Okay. Ooh, I still have a few more things on my list.
Sure.
We have been really working our way through television particular. Sleepy Hollow.
Another show you like to salivate for. In fact, for you, A Perfect Night is what? Sleepy Hollow and The Flash?
Right.
Yeah.
Don't they come on like...
Gotham comes on and then Sleepy Hollow and then Flash is a little later on in the week. But
the next day.
Sleepy Hollow, it definitely got a budget upgrade.
They did.
Since the, you know, in between seasons and coming on right after Gotham. So I think that they're definitely, you know, Fox
they're
all
in a good
about
place.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's working for them.
Yeah. And while they still do a little bit of Monster of the Week, it's I think, you know, it's definitely a fun show.
They finally have an overall plot line.
Affectation with his, you know, he's just a good character.
Right.
The part with him in the car was fun. His fish out of waterness, the fact that the lingering aspects of that is still something that I enjoy in the show.
He's fit in enough to be joining historical societies.
True enough.
Might as well.
Which is probably, that would have been very interesting to have seen all along, like little bits of it, because that's probably the only way he stayed sane, trying to acclimate with something
like that. In character, with the historical society.
And it would have made the death of his friend mean something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to believe that he has this like deep friendship with her, We're going to introduce her and then we're going to kill her off right away. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, that, yeah, that was, it should have been really, really sad and poignant, and it wasn't.
So
it was almost like the writers were like, oh, we meant to put this in earlier. We forgot.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, we'll just put her in now and, you know, go from there.
Maybe there's an episode that we missed. Well, maybe there's an episode they didn't film.
Yeah.
Could have been it.
Okay. It is, the only thing that gets me about the show is that Ichabod from back in the day was literally involved with every single
everything
aspect
that
of
troublemaker.
Everything from George Washington to Benedict Arnold to Ben Franklin to the girl that he jilted just happened to come back as a ghost. And I mean, it's just kind of like you had your hand in every single aspect.
That's where they tipped it too far right there. Because I can, suspension of disbelief, he was in the upper echelon of people as this was all happening, so sure, he could have easily had, I'll give you that.
The work part, the political part, yes.
But the ghost of the week, the ghost of the week is because of him?
Right.
Yeah, that was a little much
And
for
we
me.
Never got any of that before either. We got the whole, you know, Katrina is engaged to
Here's
him.
Two women in love with Ichabod you've never seen before in one episode.
So just kind of like, if she wasn't a part of the original conversation with the whole, like, you know, we're getting together, I was engaged. I guess because for him, she wasn't really a factor. She was kind of a non-issue. Like, he was like, I don't really love you anymore. But like,
you said
the fact
that
like, even though it was accidental, Katrina basically like killed her and covered it up and never said anything to Ichabod. And it's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, it's interesting how they're going to start pushing her out so they can make the, the love between our two leads.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe. They don't need a love.
I didn't say they need
all.
To,
just
but
saying,
you know they're
not
going
even
to.
A little bit. And what do you think of our like sort of scoundrelly Indiana Jones? addition to the crew.
This guy,
I enjoy him.
He really wants to be Nathan Drake from the Uncharted series.
I could
so
see that.
So desperately he wants to be that, play that role. So, I mean, sure, I guess you got to bring another character in. You know, this is a good way to do it. But so how has Sleepy Hollow, has he always been there? Because apparently he's well established in the town and even used to date What's-Her-Face's sister.
Mm-hmm. I think he kind of like he comes there because they're almost like they're on the Hellmouth.
See, thank you. I was like, I've joked about it before, about it being like Buffy, but I do believe they're on a Hellmouth. Absolutely.
So it definitely is a central hub, but you get the opinion, at least I do, that he goes on these other kind of like, you know, journeys to find different artifacts, but he always just ends up coming back to Sleepy Hollow because there's always something fishy going on.
Well, apparently there is, because there was a huge conspiracy completely led by anybody having to do anything with Ichabod Crane. So yes.
Right. I know. So that's Indeed. Just kind of like, whatever. John Noble is also, you know.
Yeah. Oh, he's awesome.
Winning every scene that he's in. He's just great. So that's doing well. I feel like talking a lot, but
really
we've had a lot of stuff
just
a lot
double
of
what you normally do in
on.
This segment.
I know, right? Well, let's talk about American Horror Story.
Hey, look at there, because we're still on the same things that we've all watched. That's insane. I can't believe this. Yeah, can't believe you're actually watching.
Yeah, it's definitely freaking me out a little bit. Like, I definitely have some moments sometimes here and there where I'm like, that clown with the mouth sewn on over
now
top
that
of his mouth is like the creepiest thing that on
especially
all
now we that we saw his episode. Mouth
right.
That it's not even sewn on, it's just kind of like attached.
Yeah,
it's probably like around his ears or something. And
yeah, and his new little sidekick is also potentially very, very dangerous.
As soon as we saw his mom's car on the road with him, I was like,
oh no.
Shit.
See, you thought that maybe the clown was the son.
Well, in the first episode, there was one moment where I was like, maybe, but I was like, no, it can't be because of the timing of where everybody was. But as soon as I saw them, I was just, those two in that same scene together, I was like, oh God, the kid's going to end up being his minion. Oh, Jesus.
Right.
And there it is.
Uh-huh. Because he is just messed up.
That little girl. Oh my God, Mr. Oh God, Tommy, you've been having the worst day of your life, and then you had an even worse one. God.
Yeah.
Yeah, some messed up things happen in American Horror Story.
Yeah, so I'm still watching it, but it's definitely giving me some unsettling moments.
Oh, then we need to watch Todd Browning's Freaks. Made in 1939, I want to say it is, the guy who directed Frankenstein, movie called Freaks, the thing that everybody knows, One of Us, from this movie, and he used actual circus freaks in the film. So all these people from American Horror Story are basically, you know, caricatures, some form version of the characters from that. So yeah. Including the pinheads, yeah. And I love that they actually said it was Pepper. They actually gave her name. That's the same Pepper who was in season 2. She's in the asylum, in American Horror Story Asylum. So, yeah.
Yeah. So just in general, you know, I know some people who are so anti-clown. I'm sure that they're just like, they can't even watch commercials for this show. But it's not just the clown. It's just, it's the human nature of everyone and what you'd be willing to do to kind of protect
if they say
yourself.
Why? Tell them that it's human nature. Thank you.
You're funny.
Not really, but I appreciate the bone there.
Okay. Who? We also watch Cabin in the Woods.
Yes. Hey. Now, how Saucy? Since you've actually seen the film and not just 10 minutes of it out of context.
Here. Yeah, Saucy doesn't always watch something from the beginning.
Yeah, how about
sometimes
that?
He just like happens to flip through the channels. Isn't and that see something
weird?
On TV.
How I strange
used to
is
be
that?
Like that.
I know.
I used to be
I know.
Like that.
And the fact that you gave him crap about it made me laugh.
I know. But so, I liked the movie. Yeah. It was a really good movie.
Because you said you
and
saw like 10 minutes of it
wrong.
Somewhere. There you go. There it
nice.
Is, buddy.
Well, my analogy was you're not just going to pick up a book and start reading a book, random pages in the middle of it just because you're bored. So, you know, you got to start a story at the beginning. And Cabin in the Woods is one of those that every time we watch it, I see something else
yeah.
that I didn't see the first time. The second time is obviously this real revelation because you finally have an idea of what the hell is going on, right? But then every single time... And I just laugh, like, when Chris Hemsworth picks up the conch shell, and I'm just like, maybe this time he'll actually, you know? It's just
he had
kinda,
it in his hand.
He had it in his hand.
In his hand.
So it was just, and you know, a good movie in and of itself from a horror movie point of view is when it can still make you jump, even though you know exactly when the spring-loaded whatever is coming.
Well, one of the best things, though, is near the beginning. So you've got the guys walking through, and, you know, they're checking in for work, whatever.
Right.
And then, it, you know, it pops up. The title, The Cabin in the Woods, with a big dramatic sting. And he looks at the TV like, this is the stupidest thing. What the hell is... Why? There's nothing scary. What? You were so confused by that, and I loved it because I knew the good time you're about to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods, I don't know what's wrong with you. You need to see it now because we will talk about it again at some point.
It's possibly my favorite horror movie.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Because it's
good for people who hate horror movies, and it's good for people who love horror movies.
Indeed.
So, definitely fun. All right. Well, I reserve the right to chime in
wow.
later, but I'm going to say that has been my geeky sleep.
So is there anything else you've done there, Saucy? Did that cover it?
Well, no. We've been doing some other stuff. Earlier in the month, I did a little bit of foraging. I went to the library and got a book on random stuff that grows outside and tried to do that.
Getting yourself ready for the zombie apocalypse, ain't you, boy?
Yeah. A little late in the season for it. Didn't really find much, but... It's Halloween time, so we've been watching some movies. I did The Hills Have Eyes. And
the remake.
The remake. Right. The remake.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
I watched The Hills Have Eyes 2, the original sequel.
See, you watched the worst of both versions of that movie.
Right. We watched Insidious 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And we watched The Conjuring. Pretty good films.
Yeah, well...
Pretty good.
Insidious I loved, and I spoke great volumes about, and I did enjoy that quite a bit. Insidious 2, man, I don't know, man. That just felt like they were setting up the AT&T Verizon IT guy's
right.
movie spinoff.
Right.
I didn't like the ending, and I was like, this one is not working for me nearly... At first, it was fascinating, because we start like in the police station, and the cops are talking about the events that happened. I'm like, ooh! And then that went nowhere.
No. Nowhere at all.
So, Insidious, yes. Conjuring, damn fine film.
Right.
Even though all of that is complete BS and has been disproven for so long, so many times, and those people were complete fakes, but a damn fine film.
Do you think
you'll ever see Annabelle or no?
I'll probably see it at some point, but...
Yeah, when it comes out on Netflix, we randomly find it on TV or something.
But after seeing The Conjuring and seeing that just done in 5 minutes and then seeing the previews, I'm like, what?
Right. Right.
So yeah.
Catching up on Supernatural, just into the ninth season, I do believe, and trying to get caught up on that so I can start the next season. Rewatching Xena Warrior Princess, always a great time. As soon as I'm done with that, I'm watching Hercules, and maybe by that time they'll have the Beastmaster up.
Any and every... The show?
Yes.
Wow.
I love the Beastmaster.
Wow. Okay. Any and every time Bruce Campbell shows up in Xena and Hercules, you can let me know, because I will always watch Joxer.
All right.
Always.
A little bit of guilty pleasure I've got going on now.
Yeah.
A little show on the CW called Rain.
Oh, I forgot
and
about
it
that.
It is god awful, but I can't stop, because I watched the pilot and I need to know what happens.
Yeah, so this is CW's answer to Game of Thrones. Yes. It's Mary, Queen of Scots, and Scots in the French court, and, you know, attractive young people romping around in period dress.
Romping.
Oh, God. Yep.
It's pretty bad, but we're a little bit hooked on rain.
Saturday, had some fun at the RCR bout. Volunteered, took some tickets, and did some stuff with that. It was a lot of fun. Started watching Hell on Wheels last night in the first episode, so we'll see where that goes.
Which has nothing to do with roller derby, we should say. Has nothing to do.
Well, no.
No, I know, but no. You went from a roller derby bout to a show that sounded like it could be.
Whatever.
Okay, fine. Be that way.
Playing the new Sherlock Holmes game on the Xbox.
Crimes
it's a
and Punishment.
Good time.
It is, but I don't know what they're doing. And it's
either,
going to be incredible or it's going to be the biggest what the hell just
I don't know.
Why the moral choices. It keeps up with the moral choices
I'm
that you make.
Not getting enough information on these cases.
They could go either way a lot of times. It's only when it comes down, like in the first case, there was just this one thing that I absolutely could not believe had to have happened for it to have been the one guy.
True enough. And
but in
the
second one,
you're like, well, did this happen? Or did this happen?
No, this absolutely happened. Wait, maybe not.
I don't know.
And see, the thing in the mystery is I should be able to solve it with the clues.
Right.
That's why I loved Ellie Noir so much.
It's crazy.
We'll see.
Trying to catch up on Wilfred.
Yes.
And a good time with it.
Damn right.
It's a lovely show.
It is one of the greatest things that has ever happened. The just mental mind game, trying to figure out what it is.
Has Wilfred already been? Is he a sentient being? Who knows?
I've always been, Ryan. I've just always been and will always be.
Who's that dog? Oh, that's Patches. The other dog.
I know.
The other dog.
It's very insane. There's a season. We've got half of the season left. There's one season after that, and it's done. So it's all wrapping up in some way, shape, or form.
Is it? I thought there was one more after
there's
that.
There's a fourth season.
I thought there was five.
Nah.
That's sad. That makes
it
me
is,
really sad.
But I know they've been leading us somewhere, and I'm going to trust them because it's been a good ride so far.
Well, that's pretty much it for me.
Okay, let's see. I caught a couple more episodes of The Leftovers on HBO. That's a interesting, weird time watching people who
is that the one
like what is it? 10% of the population just poof disappears.
Yeah, what's the name of the actor? Justin Theroux is he?
Justin Theroux's in it.
The lead actor. Okay,
Christopher Eccleston's in it.
Interesting.
Liv Tyler's in it. Huh. There's just Amy Brenneman is in it. Yeah, there's a few people. Few people that you might find. I've read some comics. I'm getting closer to being caught up on everything going on in the DC and Marvel universe. And I swear, the only problem with reading every comic is that you realize how they all don't fit together.
They're supposed to, though. They're all supposed to be experiencing
the same thing.
Yeah.
But plot lines and things, a character in this book who in this next book, both characters are there, not referenced. It's
you're
driving
supposed to read
me a
them
little.
All, but you're not supposed to read them all like at the same time.
Yeah, so that's bugging me just the tiniest of bits. Hyrule Warriors for the Nintendo, Dynasty Warriors, if you will, but with Zelda characters, is crazy, is weird, is fantastic and fun. And Smash Brothers on my 3DS. I just unlocked Rob the Video Robot, so I'm having a damn fine time with that, and that's always good. I'm sure there'll be more later, but that's probably it for now.
From Alderaan to Krypton. From Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor. From their lips to your basement... to your underground lair. It's GRD News.
Okay, so we didn't actually throw something up when it happened because the whole baby thing happened a little sooner than we thought. Because I was coming home and you sent me the text going, hey, contraction 7 minutes apart. So that was surprising. But the Daily Show is coming back. Give me maybe a week. And we're coming back.
Yeah, we're still working on our sleeping schedules and just trying to figure out life.
Trying to make all that good stuff work. And a good way to know exactly when it'll be back is if you have the app. Because you can get the app for all of your Android devices.
True enough.
You know, Mac wants that damn money. Mm-mm-mm. And, you know, speaking of money, if you got a little bit of change, by all means, we'd love it if you'd stop by Patreon. You don't have to. You don't have to, but if you wanted to, that would be cool.
Or get some gear from the Cafe Press store.
That's always good.
Everybody needs gear.
We got panties.
I need more gear.
You need panties. We have them. So.
He just needs gear.
Really? What's wrong with panties? There's nothing wrong with panties.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. So, hey guys, Just wanted to say congratulations and a big warm welcome to the newest member of the GRD crew.
Aw.
All right. Thanks for bringing The Daily Show back as well. That's why I figured I'd go ahead and say that. It is coming back. I know we just took a little crazy little break, but it's coming back. And that's from Mark. And thanks, Mark. Thanks for being here. And hopefully you'll still be here in about a week.
Yeah. Hi, gang. I'm catching up on this weekly and daily episode since getting back from holiday. Just listening to the fall TV episode. And seriously, no love for person of interest? That's the one where it's Ben.
That's
from
Ben
Lost
and Jesus.
And Jesus,
yes.
Right. You just hadn't, we just watch obviously way too much TV in general. So we just didn't get onto that
it's
one.
It's one of those things. I forget what came out that same season, but I was like, I'm going to try this other one. And the other one fell through. And I think I said to you the other night, I saw a preview for it. And I'm like, Damn, that's a show I really should have caught from the beginning.
Yeah, well, he says it's one of the best sci-fi shows on the air right now the geeks aren't watching, and definitely one of the most unique and interesting procedurals ever. Think
well,
of it
Ben
as
and
the,
Jesus, yeah.
Right, post-cyberpunk espionage thriller, the A-Team Neuromancer.
Neuromancer
team-up we never knew we wanted. We're just a fun show about Jesus and Ben Linus beating up bad guys. Plus, it's got Amy Acker, so you know, bonus. Underappreciated TV show, cheerleading. Anyway, still loving the show and hope you're both coping fine with the last few days of being in the John Hurt way. Less than three, that's bronze.
Aw, sweet. Thank you, dude.
Hey, GRD, thinking about Scorpion and other primetime TV shows.
Yep, sorry.
Scorpion's another one of those, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which incorporate a hack all internet's misunderstanding of computers and other technologies. I was wondering if there's already a slang term out there for CSI-esque stupidity. If there isn't, you guys should coin one. Love listening to the show, Frank Podiocast.
Huh. Well, we've called it the CSI cameras when watching, you know, any show where they can you zoom in on that and get that, you know, we've called it that, but yeah, it does need a name. Scorpion, I think they have a name for it. I think it's stupid. I think it's what people call it. Sorry, the dangling of the Ethernet cable. World is never going to forget that. And apparently
they should have pulled the show instantaneously.
They keep getting closer and closer to that level of quality there. So
I enjoyed CSI. So.
Well, CSI, I did for a while. We were there for a while. But
the original CSI.
Yes.
I didn't care for Miami.
I tried Miami for a little
bit. Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is the original.
Oh, then what is the other one?
New York.
New York. Yeah, I don't like New York.
I hate things. I'm
New
salty.
York City.
Get
this salsa from New York City.
And we have a voicemail.
Hey, guys, it's the doctor. I was just calling in for two reasons, actually. First, and most importantly, I want to say congratulations. I understand that there is a new member to the Geek Radio family, and I just wanted to tell you guys I am so happy to hear that everything went well. I saw the pictures that you guys posted. Facebook is awesome, and I hope that you guys have lots and lots and lots of joy. Second reason I was calling in was because there is something that annoys me, and I wanted to find out if it annoys you as well, or if I'm just
yes,
being
it does.
Crazy here. So, Peter Capaldi is the newest doctor in Doctor Who.
Yes.
But as we learned through the 50th anniversary special and the most recent Christmas special, the numbering got a bit wonky, with the War Doctor technically being the Eighth Doctor, which would move Paul McGann to the Ninth Doctor, Eccleston to the Tenth, and David Tennant to the 11th Doctor, technically. At this point, it gets even more confusing, with Tennant having two wives as the same figure, making him both the 11th and 12th Doctor.
Yes.
Pushing Matt Smith from the 11th to the 13th. In my numbering, this makes Capaldi the 14th Doctor on the first Doctor on the new cycle of the generation. But everywhere that I go on the internet, everybody is still calling him the 12th Doctor. And this just irked me to the core, because they made it so painstakingly obvious that he is not the 12th Doctor. I just wanted to know if this irritates you guys as much as it does me. Anyway, let me know your thoughts. Best of wishes to everyone, and have a good one. Bye.
So how much does it bug you, Saucy?
Well, it doesn't, because he is the 12th Doctor. He's the 12th Doctor, but he's the 13th regeneration.
The 13th regeneration. Okay. Clever. Okay. Does it bother you?
Yes and no. It bothers me in that, like, I kind of wish someone from the show would just come out and say this is exactly how it goes, so that we weren't all like, you know, the geeks across the world weren't just sort of like arguing about it.
Stephen Moffat said that.
Right. So then whatever Stephen Moffat says is what it is.
So, but here's the thing, and here's why they're not going to change it, and why sometimes you got to let those hard-to-reach chips go. They're making too much money with the numbering system of the Doctors currently.
Right.
They'd have to change production lines, change what everything is.
Although the merchandise says, you know, 10th Doctor,
yes, it does.
11th Doctor.
Everything
right.
does. And they'd have to completely change all of that. I guess I'm don't. They're going with the 12th actor to consistently play the Doctor, because Paul McGann was supposed to consistently play the Doctor more than that one TV movie. So in that capacity, he is the 12th Doctor. But because we're geeks, we know the secret truth, and that way we can make somebody appreciate it even more. So if you look at it that way, at least people freaking know Doctor Who now.
True enough.
And for
that
alone,
people are even having this conversation
exactly.
is a good thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I have to go with. Because again, you know, found this in the fifth grade, and it took this long for the rest of the world to see that this was a good show, like I tried to tell them. So if they want to call Capaldi the 12th because he's the 12th actor to play him, I'm just going to have to be cool with that. So there it is.
Minor
so,
okay. compromise there.
There you go. You know, that's what life is. Compromises. And bad theater. So if you'd like to drop a note, please do. It's podcast Billy Flynn Flenstress. Who are you?
Sausage.
That's right. I yeah. almost said a different name. Almost.
Why?
Because I call you
I'm
17,
only Sausage.
I call you 17 different names a day. Like
True
Mordecai
enough.
And Skippy and
right?
Sausage. All at geekradiodaily.com. Or if you'd like to, you can send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
I'm sorry, that's what now?
510-GRD-CREW. Crow.
All right, get yourself comfy and relaxed, and we shall return.
Two longtime fans of two Bionic shows discuss an episode in detail every 2 weeks with one guest host. The $6 million Man, The Bionic Woman, The Mythology, A Look Behind the Scenes, Those Sound Effects, and The Fashions. Oh my God, The Fashions. Cyborgs, a Bionic podcast, hosted by John S. Drew and Paul K. Bisson. Find us at chronicriff.com/cyborgs or subscribe on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Trace Ballou from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Hi, this is Frank Conniff, also from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
And you're listening to what again? What are you listening to?
I believe this show is called Geek yes. Radio Daily. Radio Geek Daily, Daily Geek Radio Thing,
no,
thing that's a Radio Geek
it.
Show, no. Whatever it is, you can call it whatever you want, and you are lucky enough to be listening to
Who
it.
Who would name a thing like that?
I don't know. It's a crazy name for a show. The kids today with the crazy names that they come up with. I don't get it.
Just push the button, Frank.
Okay.
Ever since first man has walked this earth, I have been here to whisper seeds of doubt and evil thoughts into I am the beast, the outcast angel fallen from on high. I go by many names, but there is one you can't deny.
My name is Satan. Hi, everybody. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. My friends all called me Old Scratch, and I am a Capricorn. My turn-ons are romantic walks and killing the unborn. I've got little devil horns and a little goatee, little devil eyes to help a little devil see, and little cloven hooves make it kind of hard to ski. I'm Satan. Woo-hoo! Mephistopheles for some, I don't know. My real name is Beelzebub, but you can call me Beels. I love to watch Fox News and then go club some baby seals. Then I'll take a bubble bath and drink a Zinfandel, try to wash off that baby seal smell, and then I'll make a toast to me. Hey, here's to my health. My name is Satan. If I want to eat your soul, I'll just throw it on a griddle. Don't need to make a deal, I don't need to tell a riddle. And f*** Charlie Daniels, I don't care if you can fiddle, I'm Satan.
Indeed. Welcome back to Journeys Weekly. Anybody remember what episode this even is? Forgot to ask you at the start.
Ooh. Episode, we're back.
240?
No.
236?
No, we've already done that one.
I don't know.
Okay, then. So it's...
you should tell us.
It's 237.
Okay, there I was go. Getting close.
I know you were. That's why I said we've already done that one. It was a clue. So it's Halloween time, and yeah, because it's... pretty much caught up to us because we had things happening, so
and we weren't gonna not do a show and miss Halloween.
Yeah,
right.
So because it's the best time ever, so we have to talk about Halloween stuff. But what the hell are we going to talk about?
Well, let's start with costumes for 2014.
Exactly.
I think that I didn't get to go to Dragon Con this year, but a lot of times Dragon Con is a pretty good preview for what you're going to see for Halloween, because people are basing their costumes off of the pop culture that came out in this current year. So What were some of the big costumes? What were the common ones that you saw at Dragon Con?
Frozen.
Yeah.
There were plenty of Frozens. There were plenty of snowmen. That's why our intro had to be what it was, because you're going to see a bunch of people from Frozen.
Well, have you seen the one online where it's the sexy Olaf?
Yes, I actually have this up now, because the sexy costumes often we laugh about, and the concept of this, a sexy snowman, is just a little silly. The sexy Beetlejuice, I find a little ridiculous. The sexy Buzz Lightyear, the sexy Jiminy Cricket is a lot.
Now, don't get me wrong, some feminized versions, like a Lady Joker or a Lady Mad Hatter, some of these, different costumes that are just really cool. But, it's some people...
they're called sexy something,
Right. It can be sexy or pretty or, even provocative without being, slutty. And I think that a lot of these store-bought costumes just go too far.
Well, especially with sometimes, just the subject that they want to do. I'm sorry, but they're probably, in my mind, shouldn't be a sexy Barney the Dinosaur.
Yeah, sometimes it's just really, really just inappropriate.
Although sexy CSI lady, I know, would work for you there, Saucy.
There you go.
She's got, crime scene tape.
And I'm not going to be hypocritical, because it's not like I never went out on Halloween in something that was maybe, I wasn't exactly warm and comfortable. But, we went to a Seven Deadly Sins party, and, there's definitely things that you do for Halloween, but at the same time, I think that's what it is this whole, trying to take a costume and make the sexy version of it that's not...
It gets
a little bit ridiculous.
And it's not just, guys have sexy costumes as well, which usually end up being more funny than they are anything else.
Right.
They're just awful. But kids now have bad costumes as well. And of course, I'll get to, they do make the sexy costumes for girls, which cross a line sometimes. Like there's the cop for girls. And it could be fine. Okay, this skirt maybe a little short, but why does she need fishnets? Why does the cop need fishnets?
No one under the age of 18 needs fishnets.
And I love the having a pimp costume for kids. Like, really? You're going to dress your kid up as a pimp? Okay. Do you know?
You're going to explain to your child what a pimp is and how all that works.
Get your stabling gear, son. We got money to make. You and tell that girl call you daddy.
Pick out which one of your friends is your bottom, bitch.
Wow. Do you realize that there is a costume for babies that makes the baby look like a cigarette?
No.
Really?
Why would you do that? I mean, why would you do that? It's strange to me. The kind of things that people come up with.
Well, we had an idea, and we're not doing this for Halloween, but it would be funny to do the Joker, the Smoker, and the Midnight Toker.
And then
we make the baby the the cigarette,
right?
I mean, there's that, but
But this looks. I mean, it's like a brown filter and everything. This is Although one of the somewhat alleged controversial costumes for kids that I think is kind of cool is Roadkill. Tire tracks.
Mommy, can I be Roadkill this year?
You certainly can.
Yeah, if you definitely want disturbing stuff, you look at you do a Google image search for inappropriate kids costumes. I see a suicide bomber, a Hooters girl. Hannibal Lecter.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a parent is dressed as Jack Daniel and the kid is a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm doing something with my kid.
Yeah. There's some interesting ones.
It's interesting. Okay. That's a good word for it. So if you are like us and, oh, my God, it's almost Halloween and don't have a costume, don't worry. I've got some ideas for you. I'm not going to try to do the Adam Sandler bit of crazy people. I'm not going to. No. But if you need some last minute ideas, somewhere in your house, you probably have a clear plastic bag that you can wear from probably around your neck to around your waist that you could fill with different colored balloons and be a pack of jelly beans. Thank you.
Huh.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. If I could suggest not going in blackface, is any of the NFL players?
Yeah.
Although, just this cross, people who like to change their race to match the character, just dress as the character.
Right.
We don't care.
What do you mean, you people?
Just dress as the character. That's all you got to do. But if you really want to go the, the really kind of tacky route, put on your football jersey, find a blow up doll, and just drag it around by the hair if you want to be a really bad person.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I think a lot of people pull their Halloween costume ideas from the headlines of the news.
They do.
From movies, from commercials sometimes even. You know, I'd love to see like an awkward Rob Lowe. That'd be a fun one. From right. The DirecTV commercials. Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, if you had a twin, you know, that would be a good twin costume.
That would be kind of cool. Because people do pull the stuff from the headlines because definitely remember seeing the guy with a noose around his neck with the name tag that said, "Hi, my name is Chad." Back in
Hanging
the,
Chad,
hanging
yeah.
Chad. Yeah, that doesn't work anymore. But back then, damn it, it was funny. And I remember there was a runaway bride costume. You know, a woman had like, she had a wedding dress, but like sneakers and some athletic, like something on like underneath and like her gym bag with her so she could just run, which, okay, but that doesn't work anymore either. But sure, these are all stupid things you could potentially copy if you wanted to.
Ebola costumes going around. People want to be either
that's a big
hazmat
one.
Workers yeah. or like the actual strain.
Yeah, it's though. And see, those have always been around, those kind of hazmat things. But this time, because yeah. it's a, you know, you're gonna have people take it too far because that's just what they do. If I could just say, please, don't do any kind of play on a pumpkin spice costume. There's far too many people
too
trying to be clever.
Spice yeah, anyway, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. There's far too much of it going around. And I would say probably stay away from Frozen because everybody else is doing it.
True enough.
And I know you've been practicing it, and I know you sing, you know, in the car all the right. time. I know, but I'm just saying.
Also, you know, famous people who have died in 2014 as zombies is also one that people will do.
They will. And sometimes that works well, and sometimes it's not cool, but sometimes it works well.
See a zombie Robin Williams, I'm punching it in the face.
What if it was...
I'm just saying that's definitely
right
going to happen.
Right in the face.
What if it was a zombie Popeye? Waterlogged, water zombie Popeye? Robin Williams style. Robin Williams Popeye.
No, punching him in the face.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Too soon.
Okay. Don't go grab your clothes from college or high school, put them on, and be like somebody from, what is that show, The Goldbergs?
Yeah.
The one that takes place in the 80s? I don't know what the hell that was. Something's trying to come through. Yeah, it's weird. That's just crazy weird. Yeah, don't do that. We also saw, you talk about Dragon Con, we did see a bunch of people trying to do Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
But it's just a prison outfit.
Right.
Unless you're going to be a specific character.
Like unless you can be crazy eyes.
Right. Or if you can be Piper, you could pull that off. You need the name, maybe like wrap the toilet paper around your hand like in the movie poster.
Right.
There, you know, you'd have to be a specific character. You can't just be
a
women's
in the news
prison.
Could totally be Crazy Eyes.
Oh God.
Yeah. Sabrina Thompson.
That's her mom. That's the mom of Crazy Eyes right there.
There's a local Richmond news anchor with really big crazy
eyes. She has crazy huge eyes.
You can Google it.
And they're big before she opens them wide when she starts talking when the camera comes on. It is a little crazy. Can I also please say, can we please call a halt to dressing as cops from like Walking Dead, any show where you're just basically putting on a cop right. outfit, could we stop that? Because that's getting really annoying at Dragon Con.
There's people walking around looking
right.
like
and, right.
And I just you can do better. I'm just saying you can do better. You can be the Crow. That's fine. I know Satan wants to, but you can be the Crow. That's fine.
People dressing up as iPhones should just stop.
Well, self the whole technology thing. Where people dress as these items. And I wonder, you know, and a lot of times they're supposed to be risque because you've got the buttons in some naughty places. those are goofy. Guys, if someone tries to convince you to wear the stupid outfit that tries to basically, if it's enhancing your penis in any way, shape, or form, it's a stupid costume and you shouldn't do it. You just shouldn't do it. You should walk away. Walk away. Now, what do you think about, are you just costume people, or have you ever liked to do the makeup and stuff as well?
I did a couple of costumes when I was younger where I went the whole nine yards and did, like, scarring and stuff like that.
Whoa, no, I mean makeup. I don't want you to actually hurt yourself.
No, but you use like spirit gum and put different things on your face. Yeah. And
I mean, I was a theater kid in high school, so I did a little bit of that stuff in school.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Well, last year I did the Sugar Skull Dia de los Muertes makeup for both of us, and that was pretty fun.
Nice.
That was a good one. And we were zombies like the year before that. We were from Fido.
We were zombies from Fido in particular. Yeah. So, and that was, I mean, that wasn't just zombies. That was specific. And
that was specific.
There was
zombies.
Maybe only one person from that whole party who knew where, you know, that we were from.
Yes.
But because we had the collars
and
everything.
Had the collars and everything, which is beautiful.
And the kind of like 50s-ish sort of outfits and stuff. So yeah, that was one of my favorite costumes that we've done. That was a good one.
I did enjoy that.
And that's the thing. I like not just a store-bought costume. It's nothing wrong with getting a store-bought costume, but I like it when people either take a store-bought and add their own twist to it, their own accessories, or make something. You know? I mean, we know as geeks, a lot of people who are really into cosplay and who are really talented with cosplay, but it being October 27th, you know, when we're recording this episode, you probably don't have time to put together something. But, you know, and geeks especially, too, dig through your convention stuff and put something together. You know, we've got I could be a pirate or a flapper or like five or six other things.
You could be a pirate flapper.
If I had to.
A flapper pirate.
You can also take any costume and just be a zombie of that costume, you know. So
And when you're creating your own costumes, just... don't go half-assed about it. Don't go to your computer and print out a picture of Paul Ryan and tape it to your face and say you're going as Paul Ryan. Don't
really?
Do that.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Yeah, see, that last-minute idea is you can still be clever and be clever in a way that you weren't like 5 years in a row. Because I know we've told this story before, but it bears repeating. Don't be this guy. We were at a party. The guy said, hey, why don't you have your outfit on? Because he's still like in a suit from work. And, you know, he just opens up the suit and there's like the Superman shirt. He's like, oh!
That's pretty cool.
He's like, yeah, he's like, you know, Halloween, I just have this on underneath and I just go to a party afterwards. And I'm like, you just ruined that for me.
Yeah.
I thought you were clever, but you're just a lazy bastard.
Right.
Don't be a lazy bastard.
No. And, you know, the other thing that I really enjoy is group costumes. You know, you've got to get a couple of people together to do the costume. And sometimes you have to see them all together in order for it to kind of make sense. Or you do like the whole cast of Anchorman or the people from Archer or, you know, you kind of get a group of people together and do the costumes ahead of time.
Sure.
Those are always very fun.
If you got your buddy, you can absolutely start do the Daft Punk down the hallway. Right. Certainly. Yep. Down the street.
And Tetris is a big one this year for the whole group effort.
See, I read something about that, and I thought it was a joke, so I didn't really... That's really a trend that's going on?
Yeah, yeah. Or Rock, Paper, Scissors is making a comeback. And
if
you wanted to be
Spock.
Epic about it, you could add a couple more.
That would be cool. I remember seeing at a convention once. I think it might have even just been RavenCon or Mysticon, but it was the Ghosts and the Pac-Man.
Yes.
And it was done with umbrellas.
Yeah,
and
they did
it
with umbrellas.
Really simple, really inexpensive.
RavenCon, definitely, yeah.
But it was just... It was really well done.
Very, very clever little outfit. You know, they can be. They can totally work. Or you can go the lazy route, which is fine. But yeah, do something, make it fun, give out good candy. Please don't give out the cheap, cheap, cheap candies. Please. Give a little class, just a little class. And then curl yourself up with a movie. So I believe you said something to me that is incredibly strange, and I'm giving you the chance now to step
normally
away
what
from
we
this.
Do for Halloween is we'll go out to a Halloween party.
Sure.
And, you know, that's our plans have changed a little bit this year. We're definitely watching. I think it's also cool, too, because Halloween, you know, if it falls on a Tuesday or it falls on a Wednesday, it's harder to actually celebrate the day on
True
the day.
Enough.
But it's Friday.
And it's a full moon.
Oh,
wow.
So I have
and
actually
be another
said
one for 5 years, 6 years.
To Billy Flynn that I will watch and we can watch any horror movie on Halloween that he wants to pick. It can be something that he's always wanted me to watch. It could be something that he's always wanted to watch. He has carte blanche any horror movie you want.
That's the craziest thing in the world. I really do not know how to react
to
that.
She agreed to that.
She brought it up.
I did not agree. Therefore, we know the movies that we're staying away from.
Do we?
Yeah.
What are the
Eight-legged freaks.
Oh, okay.
Big ass spiders.
Yeah, yeah. We'll skip
arachnophobia.
Spiders.
Those aren't horror movies.
I don't care.
Arachnophobia. I mean, those are all creature attack films. Those aren't horror movies. So yeah, you ain't got to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that one at all. But yeah, I really have no idea how to go with this. Do I go with something that I know that I've seen that I think would be awesome? Or do I just go for something blind that I've heard great things about? I really don't know what to do with this weird opportunity presented to me by this alien copy of my wife.
Yeah, I figured, you know, I can I can take one for the team. And if I get scared, I can, you know, take a break or whatever I need to do. But, you know, you deserve to have a good horror movie night. Friday, full moon, Halloween. Let's go for it.
And see, the other thing is, to be quite fair, over the years you have, you know, watched some of the classics. You've seen Halloween.
It's true. Halloween really messed me up.
Yes, it did.
More so than Freddy or Jason or any of them. There's something about Halloween that I couldn't sleep.
Because it's so grounded in a reality and the music is incredible. And it's just that relentless, oh my God, he just won't stop, and not in a comical way, that happened after four or five sequels.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do. So if you have any quick suggestions for what I should subject the Flintsters to, by all means, just send an email to me, BillyFlynn@GeekRadioDaily.com. I'd love to hear your ideas, but you got to come up with a couple of days, because I really don't know what to do, because I want to find something incredible and epic, but at the same time, I don't want you to run out of the room screaming and crying and locking yourself in a...
You don't want to scar me for life.
I can't take it anymore. Oh, because I don't know, Silent House is kind of cool, but do I just say screw it and actually make you watch Paranormal Activity? Might be worth it.
Well, you've got a day or two to decide.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I don't know.
We really want to freak her out. We should go get an original PlayStation and get Silent Hill and make her play.
Dear God, right?
I've seen some Silent Hill.
Yeah,
you've seen it.
Well,
you've seen the movie.
No, she hasn't seen the movie, but definitely Silent Hill, was it two? No, it was the third one. The first one that was on the original Xbox. Definitely saw that one.
The game will mess you up, man. I had nightmares for weeks. No, for real.
No, I'm not.
It was bad.
Okay.
When you go in the school, and you're in the bathroom, and it's pitch black, and you can hear babies crying and zombies or demons or something.
See,
man.
For me, it was the school, but it was actually one of the classrooms.
And I was young.
Because I'm playing with the lights off, because that's what I do. And it's the classroom, and it's like one of the little shadow kid things walked across whatever. And I just, for a moment, I'm like, whoa. I had to turn a light on. I had to stop for a moment.
In between.
It's
like
saying something because you're not easily scared at all.
It was
7 and 12.
It was a little creepy. That's why I love stuff like that when it works. The original Resident Evil made me jump in a couple of places because it did things I did not expect that were surprising. I can be startled. I can be a little creeped out. Scared? I don't know about that. It's been a while, but it's possible. It is possible. And by all means, if you're going to celebrate, you know, Halloween, do the whole thing. Do something that could scare you, because it's a roller coaster. I read an article, gosh, just 2 days ago, and I don't remember where it was, but someone talking about how they can't handle scary movies, haunted houses, things like that, because, oh my God, you're just so not in control. And I'm like, no, you misunderstand. You're completely in control, because you're totally safe. Otherwise, you own the place. It just works that simple. That's why I like horror movies. They're a roller coaster. There's safety guards in place. You don't have to feel like you're out of control, because you're not, because things are just happening. But
you can always pause it.
Damn, and you saw The Omen as well. Hell, you even saw The Exorcist.
Oh, The Omen really messed with me, too.
I know, you wouldn't even go for the second one.
Nope.
And it's nowhere near as good as the first one. And takes place at a boarding school. So how could you not love that? I don't know. So any last-minute Halloween shout-outs, ideas, thoughts, candy requests you want to put to the world before we wrap this puppy up?
Man, if somebody can find me some paintbrush pops back from way back yesterday.
Okay.
I'd appreciate it.
All right.
I remember those.
I like the gummy Coke bottles. I haven't seen those in a little while. There's a couple of cool candy stores in Richmond, like if we really wanted to go get like cool candy. But I just think we'll get one of those mixed packs that's got some chocolate and some not chocolate in it, and you know, and give out that kind of stuff.
True enough.
We don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters in our hood.
I miss the wax bottles with the stuff inside of them. Does anybody like the, it's stuff? Like a, it's like juice or something, and the bottle is made out of wax. Mm-mm. You don't eat the bottle.
Oh, you know what you're talking about. I do. I remember that.
They're not very good, but, no, but they're fun.
And that's what I want for my candy. I want my candy to be fun and not taste that good.
Entertaining.
That's exactly what I want. Okay, so anything else, folks?
No.
Alrighty then.
And if you're dieting, you can eat the wax.
Shut up. Jared is Legends Creative Commons, Music, Non-Commercial, Non-Commercial, 96.3.0 license. Make sure you come check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, on the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Drop a note, podcast, Billy Flynn, Flintstress, Saucy, all at geekradiodaily.com. You can send a voicemail if you like.
510-GRD-CREW.
That's where now?
510-GRD-CREW.
A Daily is coming back, and we will see you in a week, because, yeah, we're adjusting. So, later!
psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them.
Magic user, baby. What?
I got a popcorn ball.
I got a fudge ball.
I got a pack of gum.
I got a rock.
That was lame.
I don't understand it. I went trick-or-treating and all I got was a bag full of rocks.
Of all the cool creatures that I will meet on this night. Ghosts and goblins and witches roaming the streets in moonlight. Bowls of candy and goodies delicious and waiting in store. The sound of cute little footsteps as they approach my front door, letting the children inside to drink beers, razor blades hidden in three musketeers, screams from the basement of kids begging to be set free. That's what Halloween means to me.